listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 96. Hey everybody, Kayla Lords here with the one, the only, the worried about everything spilling on his desk.
Yes.
John Brownstone.
You were getting kind of dangerous there.
Well, you know I have to have like 10 different drinks if we're going to do anything. I'm perpetually thirsty.
Yeah, but you were kind of all over
I'm
the place.
I'm a camel. I'm hoarding all that.
For later
all
when
that
go
fluid
out and
so I can stay hydrated. Oh, we should do a show. We're doing a show, aren't we? We should do yes. a show now. Today, to get back to the business at hand, we're talking about relationships that transition from vanilla to kink, but that right. are led by the submissive.
Right.
Okay, so we've talked about transitioning from vanilla to kink before, but this time we're going to focus on what to do, what to expect, how to feel, what you might be feeling when it's a submissive
when,
partner.
When a person finds out they're submissive and they want to
they're
leave
They're dragging their dominant partner along with them. Yes, yes, that's what we're talking about today. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you, and we are so sorry. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite RSS feed or Apple Podcasts, which I keep wanting to call iTunes. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcasts to help other kinksters find us. You can follow the show on Twitter at LovingBDSM or come visit us at the website lovingbdsm.net. All links are in the show notes.
Okay.
So I have an actual, like, genuine good announcement today.
Really?
Maybe better than last week's announcement about the fact that we have merchandise.
Ooh.
Because it involves free stuff.
Wow.
Right. So here's
if it's free, it's for me.
No, it's not for you.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I didn't put that in the terms and conditions that if you are a family or otherwise affiliated with Loving BDSM, you cannot enter. But we're doing a giveaway.
Yeah.
Because technically, so we are recording on August 17th, so the show yeah. will go live on August 18th.
Right.
But August 27th is our two-year anniversary.
Wow.
I know, we've been doing this for 2 years and only taken like little itty-bitty breaks except right. for the 5 weeks where we stopped to rebuild everything.
Rebuild
yeah.
everything, yeah.
So, yeah, 2 years.
Dang.
Holy shit.
Time flies when you're having fun.
I know. So we want to celebrate with everybody.
Cool.
So we're doing a giveaway. And today is the 17th and it just went right. live today, like midnight.
Uh-huh.
And the giveaway, your ability to enter runs through the end of the day, August 31st, 2017. Mm-hmm. If you are hearing my voice on any time after August 31st, 2017, I am so sorry. We will have another giveaway coming up for our 100th episode. Which is in just a few weeks because this is episode 96. So yeah. that's another one coming up. So
several milestones coming up.
So what do you win in this giveaway? Well, we decided to give away the thing we consider pretty damn valuable, which is a 1 year membership at the top paid tier, the kinky fuckery level for free to one winner.
I like kinky fuckery.
Ah, love me some kinky fuckery. So here's the cool thing. So if you're already a member of the community, great and fine. And if you are not, you've been kind of holding off. You're like, I don't know. Whoever it is, you are eligible,
here's
except for John Brownstone.
Ah.
And at the kinky fuckery level is normally about $7.99 a month, $8 a month if you want to round up.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets you access, of course, to the forums, which free, if you don't pay for your membership, you still have access to. So that's no problem. It gets you access to our monthly kinky educational videos. We did just publish the one for August, and it was on, we're doing a bondage series, and we did foot bondage. So you got to see mm-hmm. my feet and our purple rope and daddy tying knots.
Yes.
And it was fun. And then we have our munches and meetings videos where we yep. do a munch on the first Saturday of the month.
Mm-hmm.
We do a sub meeting once a month and we do a dom meeting once a yep. month.
Dom meet first dom meeting's coming up.
I know. What date is that? I've got to put that on the calendar.
Saturday the 26th of August.
At 8 p.m. Eastern. Right. So when you're a member at the kinky fuckery level, you get all of that. And if you win, you get all of that without paying for it for a year. So, but that's not all. That's not all. I'm really proud of the...
If you act before midnight tonight.
Stop, daddy. That is not all, though, is what I'm saying. We are also going to give away some swag from our shop worth up to $25. And because I'm going to buy this myself and I'm under a budget, y'all. and then we'll ship it to you straight from Redbubble, the Redbubble store.
Yeah.
So the cool thing is Redbubble ships nearly everywhere in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Their list of countries that they don't ship to, you could understand why they wouldn't. Sudan, Syria, Croatia. So I kind of get why they don't ship to some of those countries. But for the vast majority of the world, they ship there. So our website, all you have to have is an internet connection, right? So anybody can join our website. And since Redbubble, who runs our shop, ships nearly everywhere, the giveaway is open to anybody.
Virtually anybody.
And the cool thing is, our swag so far, merchandise, is not labeled like kinky. It doesn't even say loving BDSM on it. We've got coffee is our love language
and proud cricket.
And a proud cricket knows what that means. And if you're like, mm-hmm. what the fuck does proud cricket mean? I'm going to need you to start hanging out for the bonus sections of our episodes. And then you will know what a proud cricket is. So, yes, that's our giveaway. 1 year, top tier membership to the Loving BDSM community. Access to everything for a year, no charge. And swag from the store. And what I put in the blog post we have about it, which is uh-huh. linked in the show notes, and you'll see it on Twitter if you follow us on Twitter. What I put in the show notes was, if you are the winner, and when I send you the email, because you have 48 hours after I send the email, I'm like, okay, confirm and send me your mailing address or whatever else I might need from you, right? If you've been like perusing through our shop and you're like, oh, I really want that, you can tell me, hey, I really want this thing. And as long as it is no more than $25, then you will get the thing you want.
The thing.
Right. And if you pick a thing that is less than $25, I'm going to like throw in some stickers or a notebook or something, because we're getting up to $25. I'm just saying.
Right.
We're not cheapskating anybody. That's not cool.
No.
So, 2 year anniversary giveaway going on now.
Woohoo!
August 17th.
Let the celebration begin.
Right? I can't drink coffee right now, which is probably the saddest thing ever. We'll talk about that later. But there should have been more coffee for this. So
I've got plenty.
I know.
August
17th, 2017 through August 31st, 2017. And there are ways to enter every day. Like there's one option, I think if you tweet a message or whatever, lets you enter every day. And then there's another option that if you comment on any blog post on our website, lovingbdsm.net, I think you can do that every day too. So multiple opportunities to enter. And we really want somebody who genuinely listens to the show to win.
Absolutely.
I mean, there are a lot of people who just, that's what they do, is they go mm-hmm. around entering giveaways. I'm not sure a BDSM community for a year is going to mean much to them if if they blindly enter a giveaway. So.
True.
Yeah. So yeah, that's my big announcement, my top announcement.
That is a big announcement.
I think that's a big one.
That's
I know.
A very big one.
I know. And and let me just put this out here, because I'll make it clear later. When we do our 100 episode giveaway, if
100th.
You right, but you can say 100. Yeah. It's okay.
I know.
There's different ways.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Carry on.
Grammar nerd. we're gonna do a giveaway for that one. So if you win the giveaway for this one, you cannot win that one. Okay. But it also means that you're like, oh, I didn't win this one. You'll have another opportunity.
Yeah.
So there we go. We're trying to spread the love.
Mm-hmm.
And don't ask me what the 100th episode giveaway is, because I don't know yet. I'm working on one giveaway at a time. That's my announcement.
Very cool.
I know. I'm excited. I love giving stuff to people. I can't always afford to give as much stuff to people as I would like, but I do like giving stuff away for free.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun.
Yes.
So.
Are we going to do a show?
I guess. Hey, that announcement wasn't as long as it could have been. I have been longer.
Yes, it has.
And I was talking about something that some people like really want to hear about.
True.
So, you know, there's that. Okay.
Right.
So. I know. I'm like, how do you start this? I need a title. Where's my title card to come swiping in? Okay. So the reason this topic ever even made it to our list, it's a couple things. One, somebody actually said, could you talk about this? But two, mm-hmm. I get messages all the time from submissives who say things like, so I'm the one that's decided that I was kinky and I brought it to my partner and they're interested, but how do I help them?
Where do
we
go from here?
Right. And how do I help them without feeling like I'm telling them what to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I would say, first of all, don't tell them what to do. Did that help you discover your kink? Probably not.
And another good thing not to do, as colored mom mentioned to me this morning. Don't just drop the book 50 Shades of Grey in their lap and say, okay,
here.
This is what I want.
Yeah, right. First of all, then you would like something kinky for sure, but I'm not sure what you want as a DS relationship. Right. So we're going to start the premise of this whole conversation on here's what we're assuming if this topic is of interest to you. You've already had the conversation and you have said along some lines of, I'm kinky, I'm submissive, I'm interested in BDSM, I'd like us to explore dominance mm-hmm. and submission, I would like you to be my dominant. Okay, so we're going to assume that's the conversation you had. And if you're like, I don't know how to have these conversations, we have done multiple episodes on communication. So
right.
That might be a place to start. The next thing we're going to assume in our, conversation today is that your partner, even if they're not sure if they're dominant or not, they're at least game to try.
They're willing to, yeah.
Right. They were like, they either were extremely enthusiastic and went, yes, finally, you're as kinky as I am.
Yeah.
Or they went, huh, that sounds interesting. Sure.
Let's give it a shot.
Let's give it a shot. Okay. So that's what we're supposing here. From this point forward, everything we talk about is that you've had the conversation, as hard as it was, and we know it was difficult, and you've got enthusiastic consent to at least
right.
try from the partner you want to be your dominant.
Correct.
Okay, so from that point forward, now you're in the, oh shit, we're gonna go do some kinky DS-y things. What do I do?
Follow the yellow brick road.
So my... Really, Dottie? I was like all wound up. I was ready to go. I was ready to like start this. You've had too much coffee. I think I've decided.
Not enough.
No, too much. I see the size of the iced coffee you're drinking. I bought it for you.
Yes,
I know.
Yes, you did. It's
okay.
Your fault.
It is all my fault. Blame me. So where are you, your starting point? You know, you're like, oh, I'm submissive. I want you to be my dominant. Where do we start? That is going to be completely unique to you guys.
Right.
If it's the sex part that interests you most,
mm-hmm.
then you might start with playing in the bedroom with, I like it when you make me, ask for permission to orgasm, or I like it when you spank me, or I like it when you bend me over the bed and take what
right.
you want.
Pull hair or pin wrist down.
Right, or hold my wrist or tell me what to do or make me say, make me call you sir or ma'am or whatever, okay? So for some people, it's going to start with a little bit of kinky role play in the bedroom to kind of play
right.
with these dynamics. Now, I can hear some of the submissives I know who are like, but what I want to do is kneel and serve. And I'm like, okay, y'all. I want y'all to take a deep breath, because part of DS in my experience, when you're new to it, what submissives tend to want, because we are all unique,
mm-hmm.
is they want somebody to tell them what to do, right? Like that's sometimes, for some of us, that's a really sexy, kinky thing. It fulfills a need in us, and that's what we're looking for. The thing is, your partner might not have any experience with that and might not be comfortable with that yet. So you're going to have to get really explicit here and say things like, I like it when you tell me what to do. I like it when you ask me to do things. I like it when you say you have to do this or you have to do that. Now, what you as the submissive partner who presumably has a little bit more education about this has to remember is that you also have to have the conversations about what consent means and what your limits are.
Right.
Okay. So if you tell your partner, I love it when you tell me what to do, but then you don't say, but if you ask me to, stop everything and get you a sandwich when I'm in the middle of, giving a kid a bath or something, I'm going to be a little pissed off, right? Like, there's got to be limits to these things.
Yes.
And I think that for submissives is the first thing I want you to think about when you start telling your hopeful dominant what you want from them. You also have to think of the parameters for two reasons. One, your poor partner who's maybe not ever considered being a dominant is gonna go, anything? What does that mean? Like, where are my limits?
Mm-hmm.
Some people, that's the first thing they think is, how
far
can I go?
And it's hard to, right out of the box, it's hard to determine limits.
True.
And as time goes on, as you explore this, you may start in the bedroom and you may find that you want more.
But some submissives who have done their research, because you know how type A some of us are, they have gone to all the blogs, they have read all the books, they have listened to all the podcasts, not just ours. They have a lit, like, they've got their kinky checklist. They've done their homework.
Right.
Okay? Okay. They could tell you everything they think they want. And hopefully what they have also thought is, I might be wrong once we try this. So the problem is, and this happens to us, to people in general, not just in kinky situations. We obtain all kinds of knowledge about something. We learn about something we're passionate about.
Right.
And then we start talking to somebody else and we forget they don't know as much as we do.
Correct.
So if you are that submissive that you have done your research and you know what you at least think you want, there's nothing wrong with letting your dominant know,
mm-hmm.
but you have to be, it's one of those times I'm going to tell the submissives of the world, even though you might find this difficult, that you're going to need to be patient.
Oh, the P word.
I know, the awful P word. There's so many good P words. This is not one of them. I am not a patient person. I'm very fortunate. My partner before you and then you were both more experienced than I was. So mm-hmm. you could lead the conversation about, okay, here's what limits are. Here's right. what things we might be able to do. Here's what mm-hmm. some submissives like. Here are some resources. Well, guess what? Submissives, you get to have that conversation in reverse. You actually right. can do that.
Mm-hmm.
You can say, hey, this is what DS is, means to me. This is what limits are. Here's a checklist.
Right.
Can we talk about these things?
Well, see, there's a subtle way that the dom-to-be can take charge right there by saying, okay, you've done your research, get your information together on topic Y.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Get your information together on topic Y, put it all together, correlate it, and let's look at it and discuss it.
Right. And I think that if somebody is kind of thought maybe they were dominant or sort of just likes being in charge, and when you mentioned to them, hey, I think I'm submissive and I'd really like you to be my dominant,
mm-hmm.
They jumped on it. Some of this they might take like a fish to water. They might be like, oh, true. Hell yeah, let's get started. I might not know what all the answers are, but I know how to direct this project.
Yes.
Sometimes though, that is not a person's experience and they're like, okay, this is interesting. Where the hell do we start? And it's not that they're not inherently dominant. It is about their own person, their experiences and their personality. If they are the type of person who, when you come at them with a big, huge topic, they need time to process and think and aren't always quite sure where to start. Because the other thing that we forget that is not an unnatural thing, mm-hmm. it's just not something we talk about very often, is that dominants can feel insecure as well. Dominants can be unsure about themselves as well as submissives. That's not a submissive trait or a dominant trait. That's a person trait. And
absolutely.
Being uncertain about where to begin or how to start this thing does not make them any less dominant.
No, but there's a lot that goes through your head because, you know, when you're starting out, you could, and I know I felt this way. Am I not strong enough? Am I mm-hmm. too strong? What if I overstep my bounds? You know, mm-hmm. the old axiom, absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Sure.
You know, so you kind of have to find your balance. And
that, it takes time.
It takes
it's
time.
It's not something you do overnight. It
takes
not
time, practice, and you're going to make mistakes.
Right. And I think as a submissive, if I was bringing you into this world, some of the things, and it's easier for me to say now because I know more and I'm much more confident mm-hmm. than I was in the beginning, but these are things that you can learn to say over time. First of all, you have to constantly talk about it. You know, sometimes with your partner who you would like to be your dominant, you have to pull it out of them. They don't want to tell you, either because that's their personality or because they have internalized this belief that I believe is wrong, that dominants are supposed to always be strong, never show emotion, never admit vulnerabilities. And it's a fallacy. It's incorrect. I think you do more right. harm and damage to a potential long-term loving relationship if you cannot say, I'm scared, I'm worried, I'm concerned, I don't know if I can handle this.
Right.
And it doesn't make you any less dominant. If you do say those things, it makes you a more honest human being in, in my book. But as the submissive, you may have to pull that out of your partner. Let them know that it's safe to tell you that. Let them know that you don't see them any differently or worse, at least, for admitting these things. If they, for whatever reason, just don't, aren't ready to tell you those things, then they need a resource to be able to express those things. Or they need to, your job as the submissive leading this transition is to point them to resources of strong, capable dominants who aren't afraid to express their vulnerabilities and who are saying things like, you can tell your submissive you're scared. You can tell. You know, sometimes they don't want to believe, a partner doesn't want to believe the person trying to push this change because they're like, well, you're going to get me to, you're going to tell me anything because this is what you really want. Right. So
there's nothing wrong with fear because fear is our internal checks and balances. Okay. And you can feel fear. It's, there's nothing wrong with it. Don't let the fear rule you. Be aware of the fear.
Yeah, don't deny the fear either.
Right. And work through it.
And work through it with your partner.
Yes.
That is, in my opinion, the healthiest way to do it. Absolutely. You won't always get it right. There will be misunderstandings. There will be hurt feelings. But as long as the lines of communication are kept open, then you can work through that.
Right.
You can talk about, you know, as the submissive, if you're pushing your dominant to be more dominant, you're pushing your partner to behave in what you consider to be a dominant manner, you know, there are times that they're not going to live up to whatever your mental expectations are. Sometimes it's not, your expectations were set too high. Sometimes it's not that they failed, it's that you were asking too much too soon. But sometimes it's that they tried and they just don't have enough experience yet.
Right.
And they missed the mark.
True.
You know, none of that is permanent. None of that, you know, any mistake they make, perceived or actual mistake your dominant partner makes, doesn't have to be a forever thing. It doesn't have to be something that they never live down. Assuming that, you know, consent was, you know, wasn't violated. Right. There's communication, there's trust, there's honesty. Let's assume this is all a good situation.
Correct.
You know, so for submissives, I get it. I've seen your messages and you're like, but I feel like I'm topping from the bottom, or I don't want to just tell them what to do. Well, what I, the way I look at it, and sometimes we have to play mind tricks with ourselves, okay? If your partner is soaking in the information and they're reading the books or they're listening to the podcast or they're watching the videos and they're taking the initiative to learn what it means to be a dominant, like it's caught their interest enough, they're like, well, let me go find out what this might mean. You don't need to tell them what to do. What you need to do, I think, is reframe your thinking and say, okay, first of all, I'm going to be open and honest and communicate fully so they understand this is how I see it. This is what I think I want. This is what I believe. This is who I believe I am as a submissive. Okay. And then you have to, and you have to say, here are the things that, here are some ideas. Here are some things that I would be okay with you doing. Okay. And then the most submissive act I can think of in this situation is then you then step back and you wait.
Right.
Because if you are clear in what you're saying and you are clear in your communication and what, and they have, are gaining a good understanding of what this means, right? They're not lost in the woods somewhere. They're soaking it in and they're going, okay, I think this is what this means. And let's have these conversations. You tell them what you want. And then you have to let them do it. Okay. Now, sometimes they need encouragement. I mean, I have, even now, after all these years, there are times I still encourage you like, no, you really can't hit me harder.
No,
you really can't be meaner because that's kind of a turn on, right? Encouragement doesn't just end once they go, yes, I am dominant and I can handle these things. No, we encourage our partners all the time, right?
And you see, that's a good misconception there too, because there are times, unless you tell me you want it harder, okay, I'll assume that you won't want it harder.
Right. If I've never said, hey, you can go, this is how hard you can go, and you know how hard you've gone in the past, that's where you're going to stop. Unless we have a conversation about, no, push harder, push my boundaries, we're good, we're good. So what I'm saying is, yes, tell them exactly what you want. And then let them make the decision.
And the approach is everything. I have said this before, and I will say it again. You know, it's not so much what you say, it's how you say it, how yes. you approach them. You want this person to be your dominant. You don't walk up to them and say, do this to me, do it to me now, I want this. You know, sir, this
or
is...
Or ma'am, or whatever.
You know, this is something I'm really interested in. Can we look into this?
Right. Or you can say, okay, this is the scene, this is the fantasy in my head.
Right.
Here, I will tell you what that is. And yes. then... you can check in with your dominant to go, have you considered what I said, blah, blah, blah. And as a dominant, especially if you're new, definitely give that feedback of I heard you, I'm taking it in, I'm considering it.
Right.
At that point, you've said what you want. Here's a big lesson for submissives in general. I have never known a dominant, a top that's different. What a top and a bottom negotiate is usually transactional. It's a specific mm-hmm. scene or specific moment. In DS, I have never come across anybody who said to their dominant, I would like you to bend me over the bed, spank my ass, fuck me like this. I want you to have it done in 15 minutes. I'm going to need you to use this kind of force, pull my hair every 5 minutes. This is exactly what I like. Here, give me exactly what I like.
Oh, really?
Exactly. Now, that's a confident dominant who's like, are you fucking kidding me? The less than confident dominant might go, well, yeah, I'll give it to you. But in their head, they're most likely, eventually they're going to go, wait a moment. Did I make the decision to do this? Or did my partner make the decision? What dominants hopefully learn over time, and it's not always something they inherently just sense, is that you can say, hey, this is a thing I want. And then it's up to the dominant to consider your limits, to consider mm-hmm. the moment, to consider what they want. We do sometimes forget that while we're telling our dominant, hey, this is what I want, that they might want something slightly different. The moment, the emotions they want to bring about, and there's all these variables, and so then it's on up to the dominant to decide, okay, this is what they want, how do I give them what they want, get what I want, and control this moment.
Right.
So a thing that a lot of submissives forget is, just because you say I want this exact thing in this exact right. way, it's not always what you get. Now, we have talked many times where I have said to you, Daddy, I need a therapy spanking. I need you to spank me over your knee,
yes.
barehanded until I cry. Did I get that? Yes. Did I get it in the way that I imagined it in my head?
No. Probably not. Yeah.
No.
Right.
Because you control that situation. I give you the parameters. Right.
But the thing, see,
you took care of the rest.
That is a little different situation because of your anxiety. I know that there are times that you need that. And seeing that there is not a looking glass into your head, I have no way of knowing that unless you tell me.
No, but that's my point.
Right.
I told you what I needed or wanted. You gave me what I needed or wanted, but you did it
in
your
way. Sure.
You knew the parameters because I told you. We've had enough experience together that you understood a broader picture of it.
Correct.
And you still said the words you wanted to say. You presented the moment the way you wanted it done. You picked the tempo, you picked the mm-hmm. intensity, you decided when it was time to stop, because I think the last time I didn't actually cry. I mean, so it was still definitely within your control.
Right.
So when a submissive says, I don't want to just tell them what to do, or I feel like I'm telling them what to do, part of the conversation you have to kind of have with somebody who's brand new to dominance, and hopefully mm-hmm. point them in the direction of good resources specifically for dominance, is, look, I'm going to tell you what I want. I need you to consider those things. Don't violate a limit. Don't violate right. my consent. Don't violate my trust.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the broad picture of what I want. Guess what? Dominance means you get to pick how that works.
That's absolutely
and when
correct.
That works. And,
yeah.
and you know, the words you say and the order we do stuff. And sometimes that's a thing that I don't necessarily think new dominants hear very often.
True.
So sometimes a new dominant will get told by their submissive partner, hey, I want to be spanked, I want my hair pulled, I want this, I want that, I want, you know, give me a mm-hmm. laundry list. And they'll go, oh, okay, that's what I have to do. And then
right.
the submissive feels a little let down because they got what they wanted, but the person wasn't being dominant about it. They weren't in control of that situation.
Yeah.
They were parroting what they had been told mm-hmm. to do. And then the dominant feels a little funny because they're like, did I actually control this? Or did I just do what they wanted?
How many times have you come to me wanting something.
I want something from you every moment of every day.
Well, yes, you do. But how many times have you come to me wanting something? And what have been my words?
You say all kinds of things.
Be careful what you ask for, baby girl, because you might get it in unexpected ways.
That is very true. And that's the, if there are any new dominants listening who are still kind of uncertain about yourself, that is how it can end up going. I mean, and part of that is about how our relationship works and the teasing nature of it and the fact that you're a sadist. but I think that the teasing nature is probably a really healthy thing for most relationships. Keep it light. It's also a good way to remind a submissive, hey, wait a moment. You're not the one in charge here. You know, you tell me what you want. You make it clear. Communicate with me. But, you know, then I'm the decider. Because then you've, and I think that might be another thing that new dominants don't always understand right off is that their partner is putting trust in them. They're trusting them with not only this information and their deepest, darkest desires, but with their body, their mind, their limits. Like, I'm going to tell you everything as far as I know it. Right. I mean, let's be clear here. These things will change over time. And that's another part of the conversation submissives need to have with their dominants when you know about this and they don't yet, which is these conversations we're having, this will not be the only time we have these conversations. Things will change for both of us over time. We will adjust as needed.
Correct.
But
you have to be willing to be fluid.
Right. And so I think a lot of newer dominants don't always know that.
Right.
And if their submissive is waiting to receive some orders from on high from their dominant, they will forget to tell them these things. The very practical things about DS. Now, let's be clear here. Sometimes a submissive has only known they were submissive for 5 damn minutes before they looked at their partner and went, hey, I'm going to need you to be dominant.
Right.
So in that case, it's about sharing the resources, the trusted voices, the places you go, the books you read. The Loving Dominant, definitely. The Ultimate Guide to Kink, definitely.
Definitely.
We would like to be one of your resources. We don't mind if we are. But there are a lot of other places.
A little bit of a shameless plug here. Something like the 30 Days of DS would be perfect to sit down and do together.
Absolutely, and it's free. You know, it's one conversation a day. And I think that's the other thing, submissives. We're going to go back to that dreaded P word, patience.
Right.
Okay? So telling your partner on Monday, hey, I'm submissive. I've been doing research about this whole BDSM, dominance and submission thing. I really think you could be my dominant partner. Are you interested? Okay. So your partner deals with that and however they deal with it, and they either give you an enthusiastic hell yeah, or they're like, can I think about it? Once you get a yes, whether it's that day or a few days later, that does not necessarily mean you jump right into, well, here's my caller and what am I going to call you?
And
it's
process. That's an excellent point, because that is something I get a lot from submissives. You know, we've discovered we're DS, and we've jumped into the, you know, relationship, and we were this and that and that, but then it broke down.
Right.
Something happened. And what I always tell them, yes, the P word, patience, young Padawan. Okay?
Your geek is showing.
All right. The worst thing you can do is jump into it all and want it all at once.
At once, yeah.
That is a recipe for failure. Okay? Start slow. Pick one thing. One thing. Say, okay, I want you to make my coffee every morning. Mm-hmm. Okay? That is going to be your task. I want my coffee made every morning. All right? Work through that. Work through getting that one task right.
And you can
a step at a time.
Right. And it doesn't even have to be a task. If tasks seem overwhelming, do a rule. Say you will, I will pick out, we'll use an example from our life. Mm-hmm. He still to this day picks out my underwear.
Yes.
Whatever, if I'm wearing underwear at all, which I usually am not. John Brownstone has picked it out. And so that can be, if that is of interest to you. And some of this you can't even really do until you've got some basis of fact. If you don't even know what possible tasks there are, what possible rules there could be, I can tell you as an experienced kinkster, it can be anything. But when you're new, that's too overwhelming.
Exactly.
Right? You're like, but what could it be? So before you start playing even with rules and tasks and orders and names, you've got to have a basis of education, some information mm-hmm. behind that to pull from, to use.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're brand new and you're like, we'll give you one. Okay, it's underwear. That's a rule. If he does not tell me what my underwear is for the day, guess what? I don't wear underwear.
That's right.
Now, we have evolved to the point of I'll go to him and go, Daddy, I'm wearing a skirt today and I got a meeting with a teacher at the school. Okay, baby girl, I'll pick out some panties. But sometimes I'll go, well, I'm wearing a skirt today. And he's like, what are we doing? Oh, we're just going to lunch.
I don't think so.
Sounds fun to me. Okay, right? So I still have to provide necessary information for him to make a...
But then I make the decision.
Right. But it gives you the information to make a decision that Correct. You're comfortable with. So start with a rule. Start with
right.
something.
And start with one thing. Work into that, get that flowing, and then add another aspect.
And what I have found, I know it's true for myself, and I'm some of my friends who have been in the lifestyle as long, if not longer, what has been said and I've heard and read from them is that once you sort of start down that path and you get the first one and then you get the second thing, it's a little bit like a snowball. The ideas sort of come to you after a while.
Yes.
You start looking at life through a different prism. It's like, oh, is there such a thing as what I call, somebody called it BDSM-dar, I called it kink-dar. Like, you start seeing power exchanges in all kinds of situations. You start assessing, oh, is that person the dominant? Is that person the submissive? You sort of start looking mm-hmm. at the world in a different way, which means, as a byproduct, that you look at things that you do and you're like, how can I kink this up?
Right.
How can I make this part of our power exchange? And all it takes, though, is starting really slow with one thing mm-hmm. and then another, and then the more you add and the more it becomes a part of who you are.
Next thing you know, you're in that 24/7 relationship
if that's what you want.
But if that's where you want to go, little by little, you next thing you know, you're there.
But I think the same, and I think the same principle holds even if you're just doing it in the bedroom, right? Like, most of us, I think, are aware of whatever we personally might consider kinky sex, mm-hmm. right? So you're already maybe having kinky sex, or you'd like to have kinky sex. So now you add a bit of a power dynamic to it. You know, call me by this title mm-hmm. when I fuck you. Or I'm going to decide if you get to have your orgasm. Or mm-hmm. you're going to do this sexy thing in the bedroom for me. You know, touch yourself, play with a toy, do this, do that, whatever, you know.
Right.
I think the principle is still the same. Still start slow and small with one thing. Assess right. how you feel about that one thing. Because it's the other thing. When you do too much at once... Something in that bundle of kinky stuff you're doing can be wrong for you.
Correct.
But if you can't pinpoint what it is that you're doing that is not a good fit, it can all feel off too.
Right.
You're like, something doesn't feel right. We're doing all of these things, but I don't feel right. And it's not necessarily that it's the kinky life that doesn't fit you. It could be one little thing you're doing, but because you didn't add one thing and then another and then another,
right.
you just did it all at once. You can't always pinpoint the thing that doesn't feel right.
Right.
So when you add, whether it's DS in the bedroom or DS out of the bedroom, when you add one thing at a time, if something doesn't feel right, you know what it is.
You know what it is, and you can correct it.
Exactly.
You can either make adjustments to it or do away with it completely. You know, that's the other thing too. When we were long distance, I had certain rules for you long distance. When we moved in together,
those rules didn't make
any sense. Those rules no longer made any sense. Now, step forward another 3 years, a lot of the rules we had 3 years ago no longer work anymore today because the way our dynamic has changed.
Mm-hmm.
So you adjust, you change, and as you go along.
And to bring it back to our actual initial topic, man, we could go off on tangents. As the submissive helping to guide your potential dominant, you can say all of these things, and you can say it in a strong, confident tone, assuming you feel strong and confident.
Right.
I hope you do. Guess what? You are not topping from the bottom when you do this.
No.
You are, whether you realize it or not, performing your first act of service for your dominant. You are giving them the necessary information they need
mm-hmm.
to make qualified, good, safe decisions.
Right.
And the first decision they have to make is, do I think I'm dominant? Is this what I want? But mm-hmm. after that, the more you share with them, you are serving you're dominant. You're not submitting yet until the first time they tell you what to do and you do it, then you're submitting. Right now you're serving. And that is as much a part for most of us as of submission as doing whatever we're told to do.
True.
So if you think of it in the mindset of my partner cannot be the dominant I think I want them to be until I give them this information, they cannot do this thing. They need me.
Right.
To give them this information. I am serving them. Then as long as your tone remains mostly respectful, you know, everybody's got their own TZ, whatever thing they do. And you don't blatantly go, well, this is what you're supposed to do. Ain't nothing less submissive than trying to tell your dominant, you have to do this. And I don't care what you say. Ooh, are we going for the brat thing? Is that the dynamic you're playing with? So all of these kinds of things that you hear or read from all the resources that you've got, what the things that feel right to you that you internalize, you say, yes, this speaks to me.
Mm-hmm.
You then get to share that with your dominant in whatever manner works best, whether you point them directly to that resource, whether you just have a conversation, whatever. But telling them these things about how you view BDSM, DS, power exchanges, kink, that's not topping, okay? That is giving them necessary information they need to make good decisions.
You know, there was in the book that we're reading for Kinky Book Club.
Ultimate Guide to Kink.
Ultimate Guide to Kink, thank you. There was a term in there that really struck me. And as I thought about it, I was like, you know what? That's really true. She called people in the DS lifestyle life learners.
Yes, I remember
that. You remember
that? Yes, I do.
And that was like, wow, you know what? That's a really good term. I love that because, yes, when you're always learning.
Mm-hmm.
There's always something to learn, whether you're big D or little S. You're always learning. It's an ongoing process that never stops.
And that, I would make sure that if you hear that and you think, yes, that's very true. Guess what? As the one sharing your knowledge with your potential dominant, you have to say, guess what? We will always be learning.
Right.
We will always be learning about each other. We will always be learning about ourselves. Mm-hmm. There will always be something new to learn about BDSM or kink or DS or whatever path this goes down for you. And the other thing I would make sure that you make clear that you understand and that your partner understands is that whatever you try today might not be what you do tomorrow or
right.
a year from now. You, the two of you will grow and change together just because that's what happens naturally. That's not a kink thing. That's a life thing. But you will also, the more you learn about DS together, especially if you start as soon as you can, sort of walking hand in hand in acquiring knowledge, you will find things that work for you that no book is going to talk about, no podcast is going to talk about, nothing that you read or hear or watch is going to talk about, and that's okay as long as it works for the two of you, or the three of you, or however many of you there are. That's all that really matters. And sometimes I think, like, if I could just write a list of here are the things I wish people knew before they said I'm a dominant or I'm a submissive, like this list, that would be on it, which is whatever you think you are today, it will get adjusted and tweaked and sometimes change completely 6 months, a year, 10 years down the road. We're always constantly in flux and our lives will change and our views will change and our personalities don't really change that much.
Not core personality usually doesn't.
No, but the things we want and the things that are meaningful and important will shift and change. And that means that however we feel about DS and whatever that means to us, that will in some ways shift and change.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's as simple as, oh, well, I don't care about the tasks anymore, but I've got rules I want you to follow. Or it's that title doesn't work for me. Let's do another. Or it's, oh, we were 24/7, but I can't do 24/7. This is not working.
Yeah.
Let's change it. So, you know, I think that's something that submissives everybody needs to know. But if you are the submissive leading the charge into DS in your relationship, I think you have to genuinely know that. And then you have to pass that information on to your partner. It's a core thing that if you can know that going in, then a lot of the other things that will come later will be less worrisome for you.
True.
Most of the worries that I get from people who are in a DS relationship is, well, a year ago we did this, but now we do something different. Well, that could just be that's how you shifted.
That's the natural progression, possibly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the other thing I have on the outline, and I don't know what direction this part of the conversation is going to go, But I think it would, it has to be mentioned, because I think it's sort of magical thinking to think that this does not happen. Okay, so remember at the beginning I said, okay, we are supposing that you've had the conversation and your dominant partner is either really enthusiastic or at least interested, right? Okay, so here's the reality of this. And it, I don't think it happens every time or a lot, but it definitely happens. Started out with this, yeah, sure, we'll see what this is about. And you educate them and you point them to resources and you have some, maybe some great kinky sex or whatever. And you get at a certain point in, a few months, maybe even a few years in, and they're just not into
it. And it comes to a grinding halt.
Right. And you are still enthusiastic and you are still saying, here, here are these resources. Here are these things I want to try. Here, right? And they have either shut it down completely. They're just telling you they're not interested. They're making up excuses of, you know, I'm too tired. I have a headache. I have a, you know, there's all these reasons. And they're not just sitting down with you and saying, look, this was an interesting experiment, but I'm not dominant.
It's not for me.
It's not for me. And the question, of course, then is, what do you do? And I can't tell you what to do.
Yeah.
There are some people who would say, walk away. Well, some of you are in 20-year marriages, and you it's not a bad marriage. It's just this part of it is not working. Some of you, some people would say, oh, well, you just have to give up your kinky ways. Well, that's hard.
That's hard.
And so I can't tell you what you should do.
Right.
What I would say is I think you have to assess your personal situation, figure out what is meaningful and most important to you.
Right.
And did you, were you, are you, or were you madly in love with this person before the kink?
Mm-hmm.
Was the kink just icing? Or was, is this maybe not, was never the right relationship for you,
right?
Because personality mix, because of the dynamics of your relationship. We're not even talking about kink, just the dynamics of two people together. And this, now that you know you're submissive, or now that you know what you do want from a relationship, is this relationship you're in not going to give you what you need?
Right. And you know, there comes into play also poly.
Okay. Yes, not everybody's like
not,
that.
Not
though.
Everybody is like that, but that is something that could be an option. You know, if you have, if you're a masochist and you love being spanked, you know, if talk to your partner. If your partner does not want to provide you with something like that, finding somebody else, you know. Yeah, you want to find some. You want somebody who will spank you once a week, you know, and
well, and that is an option. That is an option if your partner is open to that. Okay,
right.
So you can go off and do whatever you want without your partner knowing. We call that cheating.
Yes.
And not every partner is, you know, if they're open to the idea of kink, they tend to be open to ideas. It doesn't mean they're going to accept them. It usually will at least mean that maybe they'll hear you out on it. The other thing I would say, and this assumes, big, huge assumption, that your partner is willing to allow other people to interact with you on a relatively intimate level, not just a physical intimate level, but a mental and emotional one too. Not all DS is sexual. I mean,
Correct.
We talk about it in our relationship.
Absolutely.
Of course, it's part of our sex life. So it is possible, not probable, not definite. Don't go saying, well, Kayla Lord said that you should let me do this. No, I did not. But it is possible if your partner is open to it that you might find a dominant partner where it's not a sexual connection. It's just a simple power exchange.
It can be a power exchange.
You live under certain tasks or rules that this other person gives you. And that feeds that submissive part of your nature, and therefore you can hopefully continue on with a healthy relationship.
Well, we've seen even in everyday life, at the club, there are people who play there. They are not partners, whether sexual or life partners in any way, and they come together to do a scene at the club.
Sure, because it
no sex is involved. They just play together. The top gets their
fix
sadist energy out,
or their power exchange energy out. Right. Yeah. And the thing is, here's how I look at this, because I know there are some submissives out there going, oh, I'm not going to be able to say that to my dominant partner. Dude, you told your partner, I'm submissive and I want you to have control over my life. And they didn't run screaming from the room. So guess what? You can have these conversations. It's about how you say them. It's about the context. It's certainly about when. I probably wouldn't throw it out after you just fought with one another. But
yeah,
it's
definitely something that needs to be a calm.
Right. If you can tell your partner, hey, I'm kinky. I really hope you're kinky too. Can we explore this? And they explore even a little bit of BDSM with you, then you have the ability and the tools and the skills you already need to at least say, okay, I have this need and I understand that you cannot fulfill it and I love you anyway, or can we talk about how I can fulfill this need? Right. I'm feeling incomplete as a human being without, XYZ, whatever it is.
And that's a good point, because a lot of those feelings and needs are part of who you are.
Right. You know, it depending on where you go online and what you read, there's like half of the internet that talks about kink, talks about it as, oh, it's just kinky sex. And if you're not having kinky sex, whatever. And then there's the other half of us who are like, no, this is who I am. It's an identity. Right. Being submissive, being baby girl, being a masochist, that is part of my identity. Because I love you, could I put it to the side because of the relationship we've built? Yes. But it is still, if you make me describe myself, submissive baby girl and masochist, I'll come out.
Yes.
That is who I am. I recognize how lucky I am that I get to feed all of those needs. We have been in the relationship long enough and we have developed the trust and we know each other well enough that if there was some fundamental part of my character that you could not fulfill, we know that you would help me find somebody who could.
Exactly.
If it was a strong enough feeling I needed to have something.
And vice versa.
Right. Yeah, you already have that permission. So it's not impossible.
Right.
It's not, finding out that you're submissive and your partner's like, this dominance thing is totally not for me, is not necessarily a relationship breaker.
Right.
And only you can decide that. There is no one right answer.
Correct.
You know, I would say, if I know nothing about your relationship and all I know is that you're not compatible on a power exchange kink level, that's not necessarily enough to me to kill a long-term relationship. However, if there are a laundry list of other things where you're incompatible and you are deep down unhappy and you thought that getting into kink would fix your relationship and make everything better, and now you're left with, fuck, I'm submissive, but my partner is not interested, then I think it's time to take a broader look at your relationship. Mm-hmm. Kink wasn't going to fix it. If you had inherent problems and incompatibilities and other issues, kink wasn't going to fix it. So at that point, then it's...
Then you need to talk to a professional, get some, both sides, get some counseling. And
decide what you want out of life. The bravest decision, and I feel a little, because people do genuinely brave things all the time, and I don't think this compares, but keeping it perspective of my life, the bravest thing I ever did was I looked at my life and said, I am so unhappy. And the things I need to make me happy, my partner cannot give me. And I know that by walking away from this 12-year relationship, I am blowing up my life.
Yeah.
But my happiness and my peace of mind and my sense of self-worth is more important than keeping the status quo. And it was the scariest thing I ever did. And I did it anyway. And I went through tough times.
Oh, it's never easy.
Never easy. Oh my God, it's terrifying.
No, you don't just walk away and everything is blue skies and rainbows.
No, it's actually hellfire, damnation, and the sky is falling on your head, quite frankly. But once I got through that part, I looked back and went, that was the right thing.
Yeah.
That was the right thing.
And for you, it was the right thing. But also, like you said, and in your instance, there was more underlying to everything than just the lack of.
I know somebody once asked me, did I think I could have been kinky with my ex-husband? And I just laugh. I'm like, no, I'm not sure two submissives would know what the fuck to do with themselves. And I don't even know that he's actually in a kink DS way submissive, but he is a submissive personality. If a strong enough person tells him what to do, he rolls over like a puppy and okay, which is how I got to rule the roost for 12 years, even though it goes against every fiber of my being. So no, and then when I think of somebody, I think once asked, well, do you think your husband, ex-husband could have been your dominant? And I was hysterical laughter. Uh-oh. Hysterical laughter. I don't know if he has it in him. I don't even care. I would never have let that man tell me what to do. I don't let him tell me what to do when we were vanilla. Thank you very much. So oh, no, in my situation, kink could never have fixed it. Yeah. Would never have even been introduced to that. But that's because we had so many issues that I wasn't that. No, yeah. No, I would have told you I wasn't kinky, right, if that was my choice. So my point is if you're trying to do kink because you think it will, quote, fix major problems in your relationship, it likely won't. And if you go through this experiment with your partner and they're like, you know, I can't. And sometimes they won't come out and tell you. They just let it die off. And you're like, but yeah, I thought we were doing a kink thing. And you have to pull it out of them. At that point, only you can decide what's best for you and how to handle that. And there is no shame if you decide this is important, but it's not so important that I will, you know, throw away my relationship. And there's also no shame in saying, no, I have to have this part fulfilled.
Right.
And I'm so sorry. You know, that whatever decision you make just needs to be the right one for you and your life. Mm-hmm. So, but I didn't want to act like, oh, just because you've had the conversation and somebody said, yeah, sure, we can try this kink thing out, that it was always going to end up in a happily ever after and you're going to have the kinky life of your dreams. It doesn't always work that way.
It does not always work that way. There will be pitfalls. There will be speed bumps.
There will be times that you go, this isn't working.
Right. We went through it, especially in the beginning, getting our dynamic set up.
Oh, sure.
You know, so you have to be willing to be patient. You have to be willing to work through it.
You have to be willing to say what you think. It's not topping from the bottom to say what you think.
And most of all, don't take it so seriously that you don't have fun doing it.
Yes, if it's stressing you out, then whoa, I need you to back up and take a breather, because the kink thing, as important as it can feel to you, and it for me, it's a very important part of my life.
Right.
It's still, I better be having a good time.
Oh yeah.
I mean, even when you have me do something I really don't want to do, there are those moments where I'm like, eh, you know, I'd rather not. But it's such a rare thing that the love we have, the relationship we've built, the times that I know are good, overshadows everything else. So it's okay. But if every moment is a, then you're not having fun anymore, right, and it's time to reassess.
Mm-hmm.
I think we just need to do an episode one time about just fucking have fun.
Yeah.
I think that gets lost.
Yes.
This is supposed to be fun, damn it. So, is there anything else you think we can say? We said way more than I thought we would.
Yes, I agree. the top of my head, I can't think of anything.
Okay, well then it's your turn as the listener. Have you been the submissive who had to lead your dominant into the lifestyle and teach them? How did that go for you? What was your experience? What did you find that worked or didn't work? Are you currently in that situation and you're like, okay, you answered some stuff, but I still have questions? We'd love to know that too. I don't know that I'm great about answering that, if I can, but I will. And if you're a member of the community, free members too, you can bring this your questions into the forum.
Yes.
And then you'll get the perspective of multiple kinksters.
Multiple people.
So we definitely want to hear from you. If you've lived through it and it worked out well, we'd love to hear from you. If you went through this and it didn't work out well and you're comfortable sharing your story, we'd love to hear from you.
Right.
You can find us everywhere. Of course, the show is on Twitter at LovingBDSM and then the website LovingBDSM.net. But then I'm Kayla Lords everywhere. Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, I'm Kinky Kayla Lords.
Mm-hmm.
That other Kayla Lords looks like a very nice lady. But don't send her messages. And then you are Southern Sir / John Brownstone.
Right.
Everywhere. And there's a contact button on our
Kinky
website.
John Brownstone
Because I'm sure that
Instagram.
Other John Brownstone's a very lovely man too. And then if you come to any of our three websites, KayleLords.com, SouthernSourcePlace.com, LovingBDSM.net, we have contact page right there. So you can contact us in multiple ways.
Correct.
We sometimes answer fast. I have gotten people who are very surprised that I answered them right away. And then sometimes it takes us a few days. Right. And we are on FetLife. So if you prefer FetLife, I have friends on FetLife and I certainly have a FetLife account. I really only use it for the messaging anymore.
I know.
So however you are comfortable. So we are going to have a bonus section. So if yes. you are interested, please stick around. I got some stuff. I got some postcards.
Yeah.
And that's it, I think.
That's it. Yeah, we're good.
It's kind of cool.
Okay.
Okay.
Ready?
Sort of.
Okay.
Keep it kinky, y'all. We'll see you next week. Can I? Daddy?
No.
Please? Oh, Daddy, please, 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 please.
No.
Our crickets, they're waiting for us. Think of the crickets.
No.
But the crickets.
Baby girl.
The crickets.
Baby girl.
Daddy.
Baby girl.
Please, I want to talk to the crickets. Please.
Come for me. Oh, no. Wait. Go ahead.
Wrong situation. But when my tummy feels better, we can do that. Yeah. I will many times if you let me. Hello. My tummy really does hurt, but I have not felt it at all during this episode. Good. Like, I just an hour in and I'm like, I feel kind of normal.
Well, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. this episode, we got to pop the cherry on my new computer.
That's true. Yeah. I know. We're looking at this new computer, and we've got some stuff in the works because the new computer's here. Now, has he been playing with his new computer for 2 days?
Of course.
Yes. And the box, because he had it custom built, whatever, and it's just the what's this thing called? The tower.
Tower.
Right. He already had his monitor. Oh, he had keyboard and all that. It came double boxed, you know, for protection. The boxes are so big, we could fit our children into each one and ship them somewhere. I told him I'm going to send them to grandma's.
Tempting.
I know. I'm going to send you to grandma's house. So, yeah. So, the cool thing is I'm going to start with postcards, but we're excited about the new computer for multiple reasons, but I'll actually talk about the one that listeners would care about after I do postcards. So we did get postcards. And so if you're like, postcards, what postcards? There's a link in the show notes page. Or you can go to our website and there's something called the Postcard Project. Or I'll just tell you real quick, everybody likes mail that is not a fucking bill. That's actual mail.
Right.
Like the point of having a mailbox. So we love it when people send us postcards from... In a perfect world, you would be able to get a touristy one from your area that would show off your state or your town. But apparently, that's becoming more rare to find. So we take anything. We've had coloring books. We've had Hallmark cards.
Mm-hmm.
We've had typed up letters. We've like the gambit. We've just whatever. Mail.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you send us mail.
And even some hand drawn.
I know. We've had some homemade postcards. Somebody printed them off of her computer.
Yes.
I think it was Cora.
Those
were nice.
Those
I know.
Really nice.
We keep all of them.
Yes.
My box is too small for all of them, but we
need
to keep all
box.
Of them. I need a bigger box. So if you want to send us a postcard, and if you put your return address on the back, as soon as I get off my ass and do it, I will send you a postcard back from us. So
You don't want me to do it. You do not want to try.
Nobody's
going
to read. Be
read
able to
my
read
handwriting.
That.
Yeah.
No, but I always sign it from both of us.
True.
Except you become JB. Yeah. On the postcard. Yeah. Your name is too long. So if you would like to send us a postcard, it is. I will give you the address. You can hit pause to grab a pen or open up your notes application. Okay, here we go. P.O. Box 391, Crystal Beach, Florida. Yes, we're in Florida. Sunny, sunny, hot as fuck, Florida.
Yeah.
Zip code 34681, 34681. Okay. If you did not get that, I swear to you, there's a link in the show notes page or on our website, lovingbdsm.net. And whatever reason I have to give y'all to go visit us at lovingbdsm.net, I will. So we got postcards. So last week we had 4 of the 6 postcards that we received from one of our listeners. And then the other 2 arrived finally. And they are glittery and they are from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yeah.
And more.
More lighthouses.
Thank you. More lighthouses, which makes me think of my friend, which is awesome. So thank you. And then we got 2 other postcards.
Yay.
One is from Floss from Proud
yes.
to Be Kinky. Hot damn. And she was wonderful. And she said, thanks mm-hmm. so much for being awesome people. Oh, I can't believe I read that out loud. I feel like I should not have read that out loud. Yeah. Tooting my own horn. I have thoroughly enjoyed connecting with you online and via Skype for the podcast. Your loving BDSM community is so inspiring. Yes, our community is. You guys rock. And I have personally loved getting involved in it. And lots of love and hugs from our little part of the UK. Yay! And we are trying to convince Floss and Ben that they need to go to Eroticon in March.
Yes.
Are you listening to me, Floss? So we can meet in person. So this is... Y'all know I can't pronounce English words, but Bournemouth? 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 They would say Bournemouth, right?
I think so.
Floss, correct me. Yes. Okay, please. I'm the one that's like, Leicester Square? There's a fucking C in there, so you can't trust my English, British pronunciations. Then the next one is a beautiful and quite kinky postcard, A Fast Life in Richmond, Virginia. This very nice, would you say it's Victorian lady?
Looks, yeah.
She is standing on the back of a man on all fours, and she's got a leash in his mouth. Oh, yeah, we know who's in charge there.
Bridle.
Bridle. Is that a bridle? I just see the leash in her hand.
Well, it's two, so it would be a bridle.
Okay, well, you know better than I do. So, that is, and I hope she's got a, her scene name on FetLife and Instagram is, I think it's Cassie Coy. If I get that wrong, please tell me. She's in Richmond, Virginia, and I'm assuming she, and I probably should not, but that's okay. Oh gosh, yes. She has a little note here. How has my brain made this stamp naughty? It's a seashell, I think, but yes.
Yeah, I see.
Quick
it.
Glance. Yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. That looks like a vulva to me.
Yep.
So she and her, she? See, I hate it when I assume. I don't like to assume. I try not to assume gender, y'all. If I get you wrong, you let me know. Anyway, Cassie, I hope it's Cassie, says wonderful things about the podcast, how she loves our shows. And she, Cassie, I don't know. I'm horrible with gender. Anyway, they are going to check out our website once life slows down a little. God, we know the feeling.
Yes.
So whenever you come visit us at lovingbdsm.net, you are welcome. I understand. So thank you. And I love that postcard. Uh-huh. I need to like take a picture of a postcard.
Yeah.
I got a suggestion. So for top tier paying members, we do the monthly meetings and we do live stream.
Right.
And I did my first submissive meeting last weekend, Saturday the 12th, which if you're a member and you can't watch it live, we make sure the playback is available in the same space in the forum, so you can always watch it later. And I was like, I feel like there's something that I should be doing. It was very strange to talk to somebody to a camera for an hour and not have you there, just so you know, because I'm used to us going back and forth. And a suggestion was made that I need to show the pictures, just the pictures, not the back information, of the postcards on camera. Maybe we should do that at the next month.
Yeah.
I'll pull out the box of postcards.
Dun, dun, dun.
I know. So thank you. And if I have jacked up your name or your gender identification, I am so, so sorry, y'all. Okay. So this one is not a postcard. It's a card we got in a package from a company that we hope to work with for a long time, because I'm very excited about their product. The name of the company is called Kinky Cloth.
Yeah.
And they sell shirts with kinky names on them.
Yes.
So you can identify however you want. Now, they sell t-shirts, which is what we got, and we received them in exchange for an honest review. But they also do crop tops. They have, and I have seen pictures on their Instagram of people of all genders wearing, rocking the crop tops. I have to say, I have not seen people of all body sizes rocking the crop tops. And I personally did not request a crop top because no, that is beyond my comfort level. But the ones we've got, Daddy says DD, which means I requested that because I was like, oh, you could wear that anywhere. And mine actually says baby girl. Yep. Both are black t-shirts. Mine is purple cursive writing. Yours is white and like very, very domly font.
Very bold.
They are in, I've got to put them in the dryer actually. So you order them through their website and then they have them made and then they send them to you.
Right.
So, and then they're in plastic and stuff for however long they are. So when I open them up, I'm usually that person who does not wash her clothes before she wears them for the first time. I'm way too impatient for that. This time I actually did it, had kind of a smell. And I know that was just from the printing and then the plastic. And so I'm not worried about it.
Mm-hmm.
I did follow the instructions on how to wash it.
Yes.
Wash it warm, wash inside out, blah, blah, blah. So we will let you know coming up how we feel about the shirts. I've not put them on yet. But the cool thing is what I loved about the site, why I was willing to do it and to work with them or to try to work with them is because, first of all, every shirt is completely, there's no gender thing. There's no, whatever kind of submissive you are, they've got a shirt for it.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, girl, little, slave, whatever. And the same for the dominant side. If you are not comfortable showing your stomach, as I am not, they have t-shirts, unisex t-shirts, right, which is what we got. So I can't tell you about the quality of the product yet, but from first glance, things are looking good. Yeah. I'm excited. I've got to get the shirts cleaned. But in our package was a card. And it says, thank you so much for supporting Kinky Cloth and for being such a sex positive force in the world. The person who wrote it, their partner is Daddy. So it says, Daddy and I are very inspired by you and are excited to be working together. And we think that says Corey and Daddy, but it could say Carsey and Daddy. I'm awful, y'all. So if you're listening, first of all, we got the shirts. We can't wait to wear them. And second of all, if I have fucked up your name, please let me know. It's just a cute card. It's pizza and sushi and tacos on the card, but in like a cartoony kind of way and really bright, bright colors kind of way. So it also makes me hungry.
And a pizza sticker.
No, that's not a sticker. That's part of the envelope.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. It's a hot pink envelope with a multicolored pizza. Slice of pizza on it.
Cool.
I know. It was really cool. So I like that even better because now I've got I got a product, but I also got a personal note inside of it.
Yeah.
And so I'm already feeling even better about the company.
Right.
So if the shirt works out and we're like, yeah, we love them, you might be hearing more about Kinky Cloth going forward. So that's all the mail we got. And I have one other thing that relates kind of to the computer and kind of to, if you follow the blog at all, or if you pay attention to the blog content part of things, you may have noticed we are adding, finally, more content to lovingbdsm.net. And that's on the side that you don't have to be a member to see the blog content. You can do the episodes or read any blogs we post just by coming to the website. You don't have to register any of that stuff. So part of that will be adding, now that you have your computer, you will be adding video content.
Yes.
And do you know when you're going to start that yet?
I'm hoping by the beginning of September.
Ha ha, cool. Okay. So the other thing that's being added, we did it this past week. I may include the link in the show notes page just so people can see that we did it. A good friend of ours, Molly Moore, runs something called Kink of the Week.
Yes.
And every 2 weeks, she throws out a new topic for bloggers to think about in terms of their kink. And so we participated, I think, on the very last day of this last one. And it was on names and titles. Which generated a lot of conversation on the blog post, which is very cool. And then the next one I'll be participating in on the Loving BDSM website is the topic is Ongoing Commando. And as somebody who so rarely wears panties, I have a lot to say. So the cool thing is I like to participate on my own personal blog where I write very personally. And then on Loving BDSM, I try to write a little bit more generally to give an advice kind of thing. So there's that content. I am going to be writing... I consider myself an awful reviewer of books, but one of us at least will each month of the Kinky Book Club will write a review towards the end of the month of the book.
Correct.
I don't want to do it at the beginning of the month because if somebody hasn't read it yet, it's a little bit like Cliff's Notes. You know what I mean? I don't want to skew anybody's perception of a book if they're trying to read it and form their own opinion.
True.
So it'll be towards the end of the month. And then there may be there will be other types of content that hit the site. I'm trying to do it in a slow sort of fashion because I also started another new site that I'm trying to create content for at least 3 times a week. That's the Smutlancer.
You're a busy gal.
I am. I have KaylaLords.com. That's my personal blog where I write about the kinky fuckery and whatever's going on in my head. Then there's Masturbation Monday, which used to be really simple, just 1 time a week. And then I added a second piece of content a week that you do.
Right.
I just finish it up and get it posted for you, where you pick your top three from Masturbation Monday for the week. Then I have lovingbdsm.net, where for right now I'm doing most of the content, but you will be adding your own starting, what you said, early September.
Yep.
And then I have my new website, which is called thesmutlancer.com, where I'm sharing what I have learned or what I think or what I believe or what I know about how to write about sex and make money, whether you consider yourself a blogger or a freelancer or whatever. So it's 4 websites, and some days they all need content on the same day. So yeah, there's a lot going on, but I like it. I love it. I'm excited about it. But I'm really glad you have this new computer because it means when we want to do more video things,
right?
We have a stronger machine. Now, my new MacBook can handle... I spent so many years with a Chromebook. I am not used to something as lightweight and sleek as the MacBook being able to do the things. Like, I did my submissive meeting straight from my MacBook. Yeah. I just live streamed from that. The lighting was awful, but I didn't want to touch, you know, the, and I was like, eh, we'll just do that. So, yeah, it's... I'm excited you've got your new computer. I'm kind of glad. I think you've mostly got things straightened out because I was missing your attention for 2 days. He was very focused on his new machine. Like, what? I have a baby girl? What? Also, I should eat lunch once a day? What?
What's this food thing you speak of?
Right. Oh, yeah, speaking of food, so I've complained and whined a little bit a couple times throughout the episode that my tummy hurts.
Yeah,
I am. I have to eat soft foods for a couple days till my digestive issues work themselves out. But yeah, I could drink coffee because it's a liquid, but the even though it's a non-dairy creamer, it's a little too much and it just makes me feel yucky. So I cannot have, I've not had coffee in 2 days and we're all still alive.
Yeah, I think
I deserve a gold star for that. So yeah, I'm fine. I'm just, I'm on a mostly liquid slash really soft foods kind of thing for the next couple days. So
yeah,
it'd be fine. This happens to me every few months. And
baby girl needs a little babying.
Yeah, yeah. And maybe one day I'll get it. Well, you know, I got to fight my way through the massive boxes with children's stuff inside them and, you know, get you to like pay attention. Y'all, he'll have the flashlight in his mouth. He'll have a screwdriver in one hand. He'll have a piece of whatever in the other. And he's like focused on the inside of this machine. Yeah, I've just learned not to even... I just let him go. Whatever.
Oh, got to get it tweaked and going. And
it's got to be perfect.
That's right.
Nothing's perfect.
Got to meet my needs.
That's what I'm for.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. See? See? Y'all see what I'm talking about. Okay, well, I don't have anything else to say for bonus stuff and for the crickets. Do you have anything else to say for the crickets?
I don't think so. I've been... I don't know.
You've been in computer land for 2 days.
Yeah.
You don't even know your own name. What's your name?
John Brownstone.
Yeah, right. That's not your name. Your name is Daddy.
To you.
Oh, no. Yes, only to me. I really think I would be upset if somebody else called you Daddy. I could be wrong, but I really think I'd be upset by that.
What about Poppy?
Well, that's fine. Poppy. I think I just turned myself on saying that.
I smell it.
And that's all you get to do right now.
I know, right? Made me read all those Masturbation Monday posts yesterday and just had y'all, to...
Y'all, he's... if you're not familiar with Masturbation Monday, a whole bunch of writers will submit blog posts that they've written that are either about masturbation or sex or what I consider so hot you would want to masturbate. One-handed reads, right? So we started a new thing a couple weeks ago where... Daddy will read all of the entries and then he will pick his top three. The one rule being he can't pick me because that's an obvious bias. And so then we put out a separate post that says, oh, here are the top three for this week.
Daddy's picks.
Right, Daddy's picks. So I didn't call it that, but yeah, so that's exactly what it is. And he's reading them Tuesday night and he's going, damn. Holy, oh my, what? And at one point, he actually pushed himself back from the desk and like rolled away from the desk. And I was like, well, I told you it was good. So, yeah. Yeah, the authors bring the heat. Some are published like erotic authors and some are just bloggers who like to write. And either way, yeah, they fucking bring the heat.
It's all good.
Or they make you think. Like we have a couple of people who don't necessarily write anything erotic, but it's like, so it's cool.
It's good. And you know, it's tough to pick just three.
I know.
They're all good.
I know. My weekly newsletter, my personal one that goes out from KaylaLords.com, I always tried to highlight the three, sometimes four that I really, really like from the week. And you have actually made my job a little easier because I'm like, oh, here are John Brownstone's top three. And then I can go through the rest and go, okay, who's really good, but that didn't get the love this week. And then I can say, oh, but you go check these out too. So you're helping me.
Oh, okay.
I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
So have we rambled and babbled and ranted enough?
I think so.
We've bonused enough. We've and cricketed enough.
And, you know, this is not related to anything, but I know people in the northern states and northern countries would not like to hear this.
It's so fucking hot.
It's so fucking hot.
Oh, my God.
And I am ready for winter.
I'm ready for some fall.
I'm ready for Florida winter.
Our version of fall. Our version of fall is that it's still kind of warm, but there's less humidity.
There's less humidity. You know?
And then you go, oh, I can live with this. This is nice. Oh, this is why people move to Florida.
I am so tired of melting every time I step outside the door.
And I know other parts of the country have experienced this lately. Yeah. It's the dangerous kind of heat that if you stay out in it too long, you'll make yourself sick. If you don't have enough cool, flowing air, you could really hurt yourself. And if you're not drinking enough water, you are in trouble.
I was at a show Saturday. Turned out, after we sat down and figured out, was outside for 11 hours.
Yep, in the heat.
In the heat, in the sun. And even though I was drinking water, drinking Gatorade, I have to admit, I still had a little bit of heat exhaustion.
I bet you did. I know, you were out of it the next day. You were not
it
yourself.
It actually took me a couple days to recover from that. It was miserable.
I know, and then you didn't even make a single sale
off
of it. It was very sad.
It was very sad. It was a fun show, but...
Right, but That's a different type of podcast for a different type of day. It's hot. I'm ready just for a little less humidity, I think.
Right,
I can handle.
Ready for a break.
Mm-hmm. But for now, I'll just become a hermit inside my house where the air conditioning...
With the AC cranked.
Yeah. That's the goal. That's what we do.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
We recorded early in the morning, so now I have to go to work.
Yeah.
I have things to do.
I know.
Which, this is way more fun. I'd rather do this all day.
Yeah.
But nobody wants to listen to us for that long.
No.
No.
Probably not.
No. Nor should they.
Right.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Okay, y'all.
We love you.
We love you. We'll see you next week. Go enter the giveaway multiple times. Make sure one of our crickets wins.
Yep.
I probably shouldn't say that out loud, should I?
Yeah.
Bye.